Okay, this morning we're going to be in the Gospel of John once again. We're going to be in John chapter 15. I'm going to begin reading with verse 18, and I'm going to read down through verse 25. That is John chapter 15, beginning with verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. I've titled our message this morning, Hated by the World. Hated by the World. In verses 9 through 13 and also in verse 17, the Lord has spoken to his followers about the importance of love. Those who are his friends will love both Christ and those who are followers of Christ. But then in verses 18 through 25, the Lord speaks not of love. He changes his subject. He changes the subject from love to hatred. In fact, I want you to notice the contrast between verses 17 and verse 18. Verse 17 says, these things I command you, that you love one another. So there he's talking about love. Verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Here he talks about the subject of hatred. He says, you will be loved by the friends of Jesus, and you will be hated by this world. The word hate or hatred is prominent in the passage that I just read. In fact, if I counted correctly, it's used at least 7 times, and it's used to describe the world's attitude towards Christ and those who are followers of Christ. The world is not going to love you. It's not going to accept you. The world's not going to open its arms and warmly embrace you. No, Jesus says the world is going to hate you. It's going to oppose you. The fact is, as followers of Christ, as friends of Christ, until we die or until the Lord returns, we as his friends can expect opposition, hatred from this world. Now, how should we react to this world? How should our attitude be towards this world? Well, 1 John chapter 2, I believe, talks about how we ought to respond to this present evil world. And he talks about it in chapter 2 in verses 15 through 17. There he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, in verses 7 through 11 of this chapter, John there is talking about love, just as he does in John chapter 15, in verses 9 through 13. But in the passage that I just read, the verses that I read, verses 15 through 17, He's no longer speaking about the kind of love that we have for one another. He talks about a different kind of love, a wrong kind of love, if you want to say. In fact, this is a love that God hates. Do you understand that there is a love that God hates? And it is love for what the Bible calls the world. Now, when he says the world, just what does John have in mind? Well, we need to understand that the New Testament has three different meanings for this word world. For example, one meaning is the word world means this physical world, the earth, that which is composed of rocks and trees and oceans and rivers and so forth. That is this physical earth in which you and I presently live. So that's one way the word is used. A second way is the word world is in reference to the world of humanity, the world of mankind. Now, neither are these what is what John is talking about. He's not saying that we're not to love these things. In fact, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 24, Paul says there, as he's preaching in Athens on Mars Hill, he says, God that made the world and all things therein. And the word, or the world that he made, includes this physical world and the world of mankind. And we understand that we should love, we should admire, we should appreciate anything that God has created. So we love this present earth. We love mankind. But there's a third way that the word world is used, and that is this invisible spiritual system that is opposed to God. It's an organized system headed by Satan that is opposed to God and everything that God stands for. You see, we are part of the human world, and we live in this physical world, and we both love and we admire and we thank God for this. But we do not belong to this world system, this way of life, this viewpoint, this philosophy that is opposed to God and everything that God stands for. We're not to love the world. We are to hate the world. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Both 1 John chapter 2 and James chapter 4, both of these passages are talking about our attitude towards this world. This is how we respond, how we react to this world. But here in John chapter 15, in verses 18 through 25, our Lord is talking about how the world responds to us, to those of us who are His friends. And He says it's not one of acceptance, it's one of mere hatred. Now, in this section, in this passage in John chapter 15, we're going to see a progression of the world's opposition to those who follow Christ. He starts in verses 18 and 19 and he talks about the world's hatred of those who follow Christ. And then in verse 20, he talks about the world persecuting those who are followers of Christ. And then if you would look down to chapter 16 and verse 2, he talks about those being excommunicated by the world. And then at the end of the verse, he goes even further than that, and he talks about the world even putting some to death. So, the question that I ask you this morning is, why does the world hate the follower of Christ? Why does the world have this attitude towards us, to those of us who are believers in Christ and who are His friends? Well, I'm going to give you three reasons this morning that I find in the passage that we're looking at, verses 18 through 25. First of all, because of our relationship to Christ. Secondly, because of our relationship to the world. And then thirdly, because of the world's rejection of the truth. Number one, first point, because of our relationship to Christ. He says in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Then in verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. One complaint that is often made of preachers today is that while they faithfully communicate the advantages of following Christ, they often fail to also communicate the disadvantages of following Him. Now, when I say disadvantage of following Him, understand that I'm speaking from a human viewpoint, a human perspective, because really there is no disadvantage for anybody following Christ. Even those things that the world looks at as disadvantage, we know that will ultimately turn out for our good. But what I mean by disadvantage, I mean the cost of being a disciple of Christ, because we need to understand there is a cost involved in following Christ. Our Lord is not like that. No, He's completely honest with His friends. On this last night of His earthly life, as He's about to go to the cross and give His life for His people's sins, He has, throughout this night, spoken only words of comfort to His troubled disciples. He's talked about the eternal home that He is going to prepare for them. He talks about the eternal life that He is securing for them. He talks about the fact that they're going to have access to their Father by means of prayer. He talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit who will indwell them and empower them. He talks about the joy, the peace, the love that they will enjoy because of what He is going to do on their behalf. All of this was words of comfort for the disciples. But now He's going to tell them something that's not going to be so comforting for them. And that is, He's going to talk to them about how they're going to be treated by this world. He says the world is going to reject you. It's going to hate you. It's going to persecute you. And it's going to even put some of you to death. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. John says, marvel not. Don't be amazed, my brethren, if the world hates you. We shouldn't marvel because the Lord has clearly told us that's exactly how the world's going to react to those who follow Christ. Now, why? Why does the world treat the believer this way? Because the world hates Christ, and it hates all those who are identified with Christ. When He says in verse 18, if the world hates you, He doesn't mean that there might be the chance that the world won't do this. He's not saying that this might happen or it might not. No, the verses that we're looking at this morning clearly tell us that the world hates Christ and it hates all those who follow Christ. Child of God, friend of Jesus Christ, never ever think the world hates you because of who you are or because of anything that you do. No, the world hates you because it hates Christ, and that's the bottom line. Now, here's what I want you to listen carefully to. The more Christ-like you and I are, the more the world will shun you and oppose you. The more that we're like Jesus Christ, the more the world will oppose us. The world will hate us. The world will oppose us. J. Vernon McGee says, I do not believe a Christian can be popular in this world. No Christian has a right to be more popular than Jesus was. Luke chapter 6 and verse 26 says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets that were before you. Now in verse 20, he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Now, when he says, remember the word that I said to you, he's referring to a statement that he made back in chapter 13 and verse 16, where he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. Now, there, that was said in the context of him washing the disciples' feet. He was giving them an example of humble service, showing them what they needed to do as they served one another. They're to be just like he was. He was willing to stoop down and wash their feet. He says, you must be willing to do any act of service for someone else, just like I've done for you. But here in chapter 15 and verse 20, he's telling his friends that they should expect to follow him in his example of suffering. They have no right to expect to be treated better than he was. You see, Jesus is just being flat out honest. He's not promising them prosperity and acceptance in this world. He's not promising them a world, a life of comfort and ease and peace and so forth. It isn't like that. Now, if you notice the end of verse 20, though, in the midst of him giving this warning and telling them how they're going to be treated, I do believe there's a ray of light here. He does give them a mere promise here, a promise of comfort. Because he says, if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. I believe this was to encourage them, even this. Yes, the majority are going to reject. The world is going to mainly persecute you. And they're going to oppose you. They're going to reject you, and they're going to reject the message that you proclaim. But not everyone's going to be that way. No, there will be some who will receive you and will receive your message. Because the Lord has a people, we can share the gospel and we can face opposition in this world. Because some have been chosen to receive the message that you and I deliver. So that's the first thing we look at. The first reason that the world hates us is because of our relationship to Christ. The second reason is, and it's tied to that, is because of our relationship to the world. He says in verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, what does the Lord say here about our relationship to the world? He says, we're not of the world. He says, we do not belong to this world. Now, again, he's speaking to those of us who are followers of Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that we were never in a relationship where we belonged to this world, because at one time we were. At one time we were friends of this world. We were until Christ rescued us, until he chose us out of this world. One writer says, former rebels who have, by the grace of the King, been won back to loving allegiance to their rightful monarch are not likely to prove popular with those who persist in rebellion. We were like all men at one time, object of God's wrath, enemies of God, dead in trespasses and sins, but Christ, the great King, chose us out of the world, and he made us his friends. He adopted us into his own family. And so because of that, you and I have absolutely nothing to boast about. This is all Christ doing. This is all what he did on our behalf. He's the one who rescued us. We didn't rescue ourselves. So all the glory goes to him. Today, if you follow the fashions, the fads, the values, the standards, the viewpoints of this present evil world, then realize this. You will have no problem with this world. You will get along with the world. The world will receive you because you are just like them. But when you and I refuse to be conformed to this world, when we think differently, when we act differently, when we see things differently than the world does, then you can expect that you are going to be hated by this world. The world hates Christ and all those who follow Christ because they are different, because they're not of this world. Today, when it rains, most of us have an umbrella that we use to keep the rain from getting us wet. What you might not know is that the man who invented the umbrella, Jonas Hanoi, I think is his name, he first tried to introduce the umbrella into England. And the first time that he walked down the streets under this new invention, under his umbrella, he was bombarded with rocks and dirt. In fact, he was actually persecuted. And you say, why? Because he introduced something different. You know what? That's the way it is for the believer. Because we are completely different from this world. The world reacts with hatred and opposition and even persecution. We are the light of the world, and we are called to be the salt of the earth. But a world that is steeped in darkness doesn't want light, and a world that is decaying does not want salt. The believer is not just out of step with this world. The believer is completely out of place in this world. This world is not our home. We're only pilgrims. We're only passing through this world on our way to our eternal home. The world resents the godly life of the believer. Why? Because it condemns the evil works that it does. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, since he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of are manifest, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And then the third reason why the world hates you is because of their rejection of the truth. Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. First of all, they do not understand the truth about God. Now, if you were to ask the religious leaders of that day and time, do you know God? Then they would have all said, well, of course we know God. We've been serving him our entire life. But Jesus says, no, the real reason why the world hates him and those who follow him is because they do not know the one who has sent him. Well, they know about him, they know facts about him, but they do not personally know him. Now, this is nothing new. We've already seen it in John's Gospel. For example, back in chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The religious world today claims to know God, but they don't know him. They're not willing to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, this one who is the Savior of the world. So if they don't know him, they don't know the Father as well. Then he says in verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. The Jews claim God as their Father, while at the same time claiming Jesus Christ was demon-possessed. They claimed to love the Father, but they hated the Son. And Jesus says that just can't be. The Father and the Son are one. They're one in nature. They're one in essence. And so if you love one, you love the other. If you hate one, then you have to hate the other. You can't separate. You can't have a different attitude towards one in comparison to the other. Now, many in the world today claim to know God. They claim to love him. But those who claim to love God and to know God, that doesn't invoke the world's hatred on them. But if someone says they believe in Jesus Christ, and if they say Christ is their only hope of salvation, then that's another matter completely. And so the world doesn't know the truth about God. Secondly, the world doesn't know the truth about sin. Verse 22, if I had come and spoken unto them, not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Once again, Jesus emphasized here his words and his works. The people had no excuse for rejecting Christ, for hating him, because his words and his works gave ample evidence that he was who he claimed to be. The idea in these verses is not that if Jesus had not come into the world, then the world would have been without sin in every sense. Romans chapter 1, chapters 1 through 3, Paul proves that all the world is in sin. Jew and Gentile are all guilty before God. Now here he's speaking of a specific sin. That is the sin of rejecting the clear, gracious revelation that God has given through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The world hates him because they rejected him and they rejected his message, because it was a message of repentance from sin and faith in him. Here is a case of the misuse of religious privileges. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. The more light we have, the more guilty we are for rejecting that light. It is a great privilege to live in a country like you and I live in, where we have access to the Bible, where we have access to the gospel, where we can hear the word of God freely preached. We can freely worship God without fear of persecution or being arrested or whatever. But understand this, that only adds to our responsibility. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48 says, to whom much is given, much is required. Today, you have heard the truth. And if you reject that truth, then understand this, you will face a greater judgment than those who have never heard the truth. So it is a terrible thing to reject Christ and to reject his message. Today, if you are not a believer in Christ, then it is my prayer that you will come to acknowledge your sin, to repent of your sin, and put your faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone.